So we all know then that our theme these Sundays is the grace of God. And that's a huge theme, and I'm sure we already have a sense of how huge a theme it is. I don't expect that when we laid out the theme a few Sundays ago, we saw that we could consider the subject from the point of view of colour. There is the multicoloured grace of God. We also saw, do you remember, that there are enemies to the grace of God. There are challenges to the grace of God. We have that verse that warns about falling from the grace of God. So there's much more ahead for us as we study this theme of the grace of God. We've thought about growing in grace. We spent 2 Sundays looking at the throne of grace and how we are to always be confident to come to that throne and to find the help that we need. Now, do you remember then, in this subject of the grace of God, we have seen, if you like, one line of thought that I want to continue this evening. That line of thought began when we said that grace is a person. The grace of God is not something that floats above our heads like a cloud. The grace of God is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. So John's Gospel then, the very first chapter, those introductory verses, Jesus, compared to Moses, full of grace and truth. Now, when we said that Jesus is the grace of God, do you remember that the next verse in John's introduction says this? No one has seen God at any time. And that's one of the most profound statements in our Bibles. It would be better written like this. God cannot be seen. God cannot be seen because God is spirit. But God is also so holy and so bright that we cannot look at God and live. So therefore, Jesus Christ is the heart of God made flesh. So when you say that grace is a person, we look at Jesus and we say Jesus is God's heart in flesh and blood. And he is the grace of God. Now last Sunday night then, if you were here, do you remember? We said that Jesus Christ, the grace of God, part of that grace is that he is just like us. Jesus Christ is just like you and he's just like me. And the most wonderful thing about that is that Jesus is in heaven. He's at God's right hand and there he is just like me. So when I think about praying, or when you think about coming tonight to a service, you come to God in the name of one who is just like you. So whatever you go through, however you are, he is just like you. And I don't know if you remember, but we did make a hint this morning. We made a distinction last Sunday between sympathy and empathy. Now, there's a lot of talk these days about empathy. And empathy is the ability to imagine what it would be like to be someone else. It's the work of your imagination by which you put yourself in someone else's position and you imagine what they're like, how they live, what she feels, what he goes through. And as you imagine that, You can reach out to that person with sympathy. Sorry, with empathy. That's empathy, isn't it? Sympathy is different to that. Sympathy is when you've gone through it yourself. And that's what we said last Sunday night. There's someone in heaven who's gone through himself what you and I go through. And that's his sympathy. Now, I want to continue that thought this evening. So will you turn with me to John's first letter? And let's begin to read at the last two verses of chapter 2. So 1 John, and we're in chapter 2, and let's begin at verse 28, and then we'll read into the opening verses of chapter 3. So 1 John then, chapter 2, and verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we shall have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Now behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Now, here's our text for this evening. Beloved, now we are children of God, but it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. That's our text then. Let's ask God to help us as we turn to his word. Lord our God, we thank you for the beautiful day that we've had, and a day spent with family. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, the common grace that we've enjoyed so far today. As we come at the end of a day to listen to your word, we do ask that you would help us to do so. It's warm and we may be tired. Lord, help us to hear your word. Lord, we said this morning that whatever else we stand in need of, we need above everything else to hear the word of God. So strengthen our bodies, strengthen our minds, deal with our hearts, and help us to hear the word of God. So we commend ourselves in Jesus' name. Amen. I want just to lay out the sermon right at the start, so that if any of you forget sermons, hopefully you'll be able to lay hold of what I'm about to say. Grace is a person. That person is Jesus Christ. So that's our first thought. Grace is a person. The second step, that person is just like us. Tonight we have a third step. And the third step, can you see it? It's summed up in 1 John 3 and verse 2. The third step is this: we shall be just like him. So can you see how it works? Grace is a person. That person is just like us. And then here's the third step: we shall be just like him. And what John is doing in these verses, he's reflecting on this theme that we shall be just like him. And can you see the three things that John does here in these verses? He wants to tell us, first of all, that God is keeping something hidden. There's something we can't see at the moment. So that's the first thing. Then what John is going to do, he's going to tell us that there'll be a moment of revelation. There's, in the future, going to be one moment when God reveals something. And in that great moment of revelation, we shall be just like him. And then the third thing that John does, look at verse 1, is he wants us to understand that this is an expression of how much God loves us. So there's a secret, there's a moment of revelation, and this all shows you how much God loves you. So hopefully now we'll hold on to this. Step one, grace is a person. Step two, that person is just like us. Step three, we shall be just like him. So take step three then. And as you take step three, here's what John does. God has a secret. God will reveal the secret. And this will all tell us about the love of God. So we're going to take that third step. We shall be like him. And the first thing John wants us to understand then is that God keeps secrets. So I want to talk to you just for a minute, if I can, about how God has kept secrets right throughout human history. And if you like, think of it in this way. Think of somebody, an author, for example, who is going to write a number of books. So this author will produce one book at one time, and that one book tells you a little bit about the stories. But that one book isn't complete. So the author brings a second book. And then there's a third book. And by the time there's a third book, you've read the three of them, and you want to know what's going to happen to these characters. So you wait for the fourth book. And then when the fourth book is produced, you read it eagerly and you find out what's happened, and then you finish the book and the story still isn't finished. So there's a fifth book to come. Now with that idea in mind, think of what God has done. God has two stories to tell us. The first is concerning his son, Jesus Christ. And God, over the ages, produced one book after another book telling the story of his son, Jesus Christ. So in the first book, the Son of God was promised. God promised the day when he would send his son. And his son would come into the world, and his son would put everything right. He would destroy Satan. He would restore peace with God. This is the first, if you like, book installment that came from God. And as you think of your Old Testament, think about book after book. One book told us where he would be born. Another book told us what he would be like. Some of the books told us that the Son of God would be despised and rejected, that he would be betrayed, that he would be arrested, that he would be put on trial. And so God revealed his Son to men and women throughout the world. Now that's the first story that our Bible tells us. It's the great story that our Bible tells us. And if you think with me just for a minute or two, what do you know about the way God has told the story of his son? If you've got your Bibles open there, turn back to Hebrews and to the very first chapter. And some of you will know these verses. So Hebrews and chapter 1, and I'll just read a few of these verses to you. So God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Now, there is the idea of God speaking, writing one book and then another book, various ways, different times to the fathers. God has spoken and revealed his son. And then look at Hebrews 1 verse 2. Has in these last days spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. That was the last book when the Son of God came, and when he lived and died and rose again and returned to heaven. That is the story completed about the Son Jesus Christ. So it was promised, he was prophesied, then he comes, then he lives, then he dies. So God's revelation of his Son Jesus Christ is full and complete. That's the first purpose of God. The story is told, it's been fulfilled, and part of where the book ends is with this truth that he'll come again. The Son of God will appear a second time and he will come again. Now that's the first story that God has told then. In installments, bit by bit, over the centuries, the story of his son, and then his son comes and lives and dies and rises, and that story is told. Now let me ask you then, what's the second story that God says? The first, the big story, is the story of his son. What's the second one? Well, as you think of this for a moment, let me see if I can help you. The second story that God tells, there's been a number of books, if you like, think of that image, a number of books produced over the centuries, but there's one left. There's one left to come. The final story is yet to be told. And so, those who are waiting for this last book to be published are eager to find out what the last book will reveal. I know some of you are in that position now, aren't you? There's a particular author who's very popular today, and his books are being produced on the TV, and those who are fans of this author are waiting for the last book to be published. Now, that's the position that we're in here. So who's this second story about? The first is about his son. The second story that God is revealing, moment by moment, if you like, over the ages, is the story of his people. Christian people, way back in time, the people of Israel, before that, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. It's the story of the people of God. What's God's purpose for his people? What's God working for? What's he seeking to do? What's the future of the people of God? Now, much has already been told us about God's purposes for his people. And God, over the centuries, showed more and more of his purposes for his people. But there's one last book to be published. And that book is the final revelation from God of what his purposes are for his people. So, if you're still having your Bibles in front of you, because it is quite a warm night, it's a good idea, isn't it, to flick through the pages of our Bible. So will you look at 1 Corinthians and chapter 13? And in this chapter, here's Paul now, and he's hinting at this idea that God has one thing left to say. He's got one secret yet to reveal. There's a final book or chapter that God has yet to show us. So in 1 Corinthians 13, you remember this chapter is all about the love of God. And he says some wonderful things, but look at verse 9. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9. Now we know in part, and we prophesy in part. And then verse 10. But when that which is complete has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Very simple to understand these two verses. It's exactly what I've been telling you. An author producing installments of his story. So you get the first, and you get the second installment, then you get the third installment. Now, the last installment we've had was through the Apostle Paul, when he tells us a mystery, when he shows us something hidden. So Paul's installment was the last. But in his installment, he says, now we know in part. We only know so much. But there's a final chapter or book to be revealed. So if you followed me then, and I hope you have, let's come back to our text. 1 John 3 and verse 2. What's this last book then that God has yet to show us? Look at what we read in verse 2. Beloved, we know we are children of God. So far then, the books published so far tell us we are children of God. But this last book is what will be the end for us. What's the end of our story as the people of God? What's going to happen to us in the end? So we know what's happened to us in the past. We were chosen in Christ. We know what happened to us in the present. We were called and we were given faith and we were justified and we were made righteous. So we know what's happened in the present. Now here's what John is saying, look in verse 2. What's going to happen to us in the end? What's the last installment of the story of God's people and the purposes of God? Well, what I want to do is imagine it like this then. In 1 John 3 and verse 2, John says, listen, God has given me a clue. I've seen an advanced copy, if you like. God, the author, has brought me in on his thoughts. And he's told me a little bit about what the end of the story will be for his people. So John writes in verse 2, I can't tell you everything. I wasn't shown everything. I wasn't given the whole to read. But I've been given a clue. And the clue is, we shall be just like him. We will see him as he is. And that him there is Jesus Christ. We will see him. And in the seeing of him, we will be like him. Now that's, if you like, the hint that John has had from God about what the end of the story is for the people of God. But look, again, there's one more thing, isn't there? He uses a very important word. Can you see it in verse 2 of chapter 3. Perhaps there's a few of them there, but the one I'm thinking of, can you spot it there? He writes, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been, and here's this important word, it has not yet been revealed. Now that word can be used of an author who brings out his latest book and shows the world, shows the waiting, reading public what his story is. So John's been given a hint. We shall be just like him. And what John has been told by God is that there will be a moment when that book is published and the purpose of God shall be fulfilled. So let's sum up what we've said so far. Grace is a person. He's a person just like us. And then the final installment of God's purposes for you and me is that we will be just like him. We will be just as he is. Now, that's such a simple idea, isn't it? I'm going to be just like Jesus. And it's so simple that we can just think, wow, and then walk away. But spend a moment to imagine what that means. To be just like him is to have the physical nature that he has. So he took our nature, and he has now glorified that nature so that one day we shall be just like him from a physical point of view. So our human nature is going to be raised. Our human nature is going to be glorified. And we shall be just like him. So this body will put off mortality. This body will put off corruption. This body will put off weakness. And we shall put on the physical body of Jesus Christ. We shall be just like him. Now, not just physically shall we be just like him. We'll be just like him in terms of his position. So, quote a hymn if you can. The highest place that heaven affords is his by sovereign right. So he has that highest place in heaven by right. And we shall be just like him. We will share in the glories and the beauties and the majesties of heaven just like him. So all the glory that is true of him shall be true of us. So, as I say this to you, can I ask you to be very clear, to be very active as you listen to me? You will be just like him. You will be just like him physically. You will be just like him in the position that you have in heaven. You will be just like him in reigning in glory and majesty. He said to his disciples, you will reign as the stars in the sky. You will be just like him. You will. I will. Now, I think of that for a moment. You, with all your struggles, you will be just like him. Now that's what John has seen. And he's been shown that there'll be a moment when God publishes his book, if you like, when Jesus Christ will appear, and his appearance will be so unimaginable that every eye will be drawn to the sight. Have you ever been anywhere where something so spectacular was to be seen that every eye was drawn to it? Ever been in that position? It's very rare, isn't it? Because whether you go to see the Colosseum in Rome, or you go to see the Mona Lisa in Paris, you'll have people looking at it, but there's always someone who's not looking at it. There's always someone on their phone. There's always someone doing something else. There is no sight in the world that draws every eye. Now, there's a moment to come when God reveals his Son, and that sight will be such that every human eye will be drawn to it. And we'll see it. And we'll see the appearing, the glory, the majesty, the wonder of Jesus Christ presented by God as his Son, risen, conquering Son. Now, in that moment, when every eye will be drawn to him, the eye of the Christian being drawn to the appearing of Christ, in that moment, when you're looking at him, you will be changed. You will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of that eye, and you will be just like him. That's what John has seen then. This is the final installment of God's story of his purposes for his people. And if you were ever a fan of an author, and you can't wait for the last installment, and you've had a clue about what the book contains, you want to know more. What's going to happen? You can't wait. You're full of enthusiasm. What's going to happen? Now, what John does here is this. He says, I can give you a clue. But then you'll see not just in John, you'll see it in Paul, you'll see it in Peter. They go back to Isaiah and they use that verse we read earlier. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, what God has prepared for those who love him. We've got a hint. We've caught a glimpse. But when that final installment is revealed, and the final purpose of God for his people comes to pass, we will see things that we cannot now imagine. And we will hear things that we cannot now experience. And our heart will be filled with things that it cannot now be filled with in this final moment when God fulfills his purposes for his people. That means you and me. And we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Where he is, there we shall be. But there is so much more that we cannot even now imagine about those final purposes of God. So let's finish with this. What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Let's pray.